The following program is intended for mature audiences.
Hey, welcome to the show. We are the Circle of Nerds. Coming up this week, we'll be bearing our nerdy souls, seeing who can take the high ground, doing battle with monsters, and much, much more. So much more. And I have new buttons, so of course I don't know where any of them are yet. But before we do anything, we've got our clip of the week. And at this point, as I'm selecting the clips of the week, I'm trying to stop Doug.
Undefeated, baby.
Undefeated. So I am trying.
Can you throw a bone to those of us who suck at this game? I've gotten none of them.
What's the opposite of undefeated? Just
right.
Defeated.
Defeated. Completely. No, there has to be. No. Defeated. No, just doesn't cut it. There's like, but Louis is defeated.
I thought Louis got Fifth Element. Louis, you got Fifth Element.
Did I? Oh, yes, I did.
Yeah.
I think I'm the defeated one.
Yeah, are you the defeated? Yeah. Defeated and depleted?
Yeah.
All right, here we go. Here's this week's movie clip.
Ever seen a shark's eyes, Chief? Kind of like doll's eyes, all black and lifeless like.
I know it. Can I say it right now?
Go in the water. 22 kids come out of the water. The ice cream man, he take the rest. April the 9th. Half past 4 p.m.
Let me say it right now.
No, you can't. You have to wait till the end of the show where we do
all
the
right,
reveal.
I'll wait till the end of the show. Oh my God. I think I know
this. Do I need to run it again?
Yes, please.
All right, look, for those of you listening.
Are you kidding me? This is like everyone. The most famous thing from. Okay, all right.
Okay. For those of you listening, V's face. It is the quintessential, like, if we could make an emoji for what the fuck, well, that's the WTF face 100%.
I was reacting not only to the sound, but generally I'm the one in the relationship who has seen things. So for Aaron to, like, know something that
you've
I don't know, you'd be utterly
confused.
You have absolutely seen this.
Oh, shit.
Okay. Right, here we go. One more time.
Ever seen a shark's eyes, Chief? Kind of like doll's eyes, all black and lifeless like. 29 kids go in the water. 22 kids come out of the water. The ice cream man, he take the rest. April the 9th, half past 4 p.m.
There you go.
I have a good guess.
That's what it is. The second one, they're going to get progressively harder as we continue on.
Oh, God. More difficult than that.
Yeah. I'm going, because that's the whole point. They're supposed to be obscure. They're supposed to be from popular movies, but the obscure quotes from popular movies. That way, when you finally find out what movie it's from, you're just like, oh my God, I'm an idiot. I've seen that movie like a million times and I did not. Yeah.
Okay.
Anywho, so again, welcome to the show, everyone. We've got Daddy Louie, A and V, and Doug, a.k.a. Quailman. How's everybody doing? What's going on?
What's up?
Yeah. And I'm Tommy D. What's up? oh, yeah. There's me. So what's going on? What's going on with everybody? We're gonna dive into something here in a minute, but I want to know how everybody's doing. How's everybody feeling? What's going on?
When life gives you lemons.
Yeah.
You want your money back, and it sucks.
Yeah, it's about right.
Life is good.
Life is good.
We're now. At least my favorite fandom is now in its extended season that goes till September. And
what's your favorite fandom?
Oh,
I think this is going to segue into what we're going to talk about.
Wait a minute. Why? Vengeance. All right.
It's only because he called it a fandom. That's what I'm. And when you find out, you're okay. You
it's unrelated, like Survivor unrelated, or something like that.
Unrelated,
no.
Related. V's again. V is. I know, Doug. This is going to upset you, but it's a Big Bang reference. But in this, look at.
Yeah, yeah. I'm upset.
In this moment, V was very much Leonard and Aaron was very much Sheldon. Because it's like, don't ask Sheldon anything. Don't ask, like, oh, here we go, because he's going to explain everything. And that was your face. That was your face, V. It was like, oh, God, don't ask him what his fandom is.
Well, now so, I want to know. Now we have to know.
We must know.
This is why I miss, like, masks not being everything, because I didn't, I could, my facial expressions were just completely hidden, and no one saw my attitude. All right, Aaron, sorry.
Like, there's nothing shameful or embarrassing about the thing that I love very much, and it was a fandom that I picked up over the pandemic.
Stop calling it a fandom.
It's my fan. Okay, mostly, I'm a theater guy, and I don't have too many sports interests. I support the Cleveland sports. I love going to their games. But I am absolutely a diehard Australian rules football fan, and I cannot get enough of this game.
Why did you call it a fandom?
It's because I'm a fan. I know. It's my in to this community here.
Australian what?
Thank you. It's called Australian Rules Football.
Aussie Rules Football, yeah.
Aussie Rules Football. Oh, you know this?
I'm aware, yeah.
Look at his face. I've
never heard of this in my life.
Yeah, it's Aussie rules. It's fucking hardcore.
It's like rugby and soccer and volleyball and American football.
And synchronized swimming all together.
There are simultaneously no rules and then absolutely infinite rules.
The rules are Calvin ball. The points are made up.
When you watch it, it looks like Calvin ball.
It's just fuck all.
Well, it's been around since 1859. That's
A long-standing sport, and I don't want to take this segment to explain to you, because maybe could be something a long time.
Is that just like rugby, though?
No.
It's rugby makes sense. Men and women jumping on top of each other.
Oh, and the pileups?
men's league and women's league, not together. Yeah.
Well, yeah. Women,
I will be watching videos of this later.
Oh, my God. Women's Aussie rule football?
It's hard. Yeah.
I wouldn't fuck with them. I would not get onto the field.
It's
with
amazing.
Them. I wouldn't get on the field.
The best thing about the sport, other than watching him get super excited about this every year, is by far like the 3-inch inseam on the shorts that the men wear. Let me tell you. American sports need to start, cutting those hems shorter and shorter.
Yeah. And the announcers. The announcers for Aussie Rule Football. It's like every single one of them. It's like imagine Steve Irwin, but on meth, like completely, like to the next level, to like crank up to 11.
Well, not only is like the terminology for what they use as like the rules and stuff is already just gibberish, but then you add in like Australian lingo to it, and it's like, oh, look at him, he really like bounced the. Like, it's all just like these random words, and I'm like, what is this?
The milkshake at the end of the driveway.
He jingle jangled the jiggery rear on that one, didn't he?
What a ripper!
Why was your Australian? I like that Tommy's Australian's a British chimney sweep.
Thanks for that. Hope not.
You can't say that when I'm drinking coffee actively. Like, Jesus Christ, I almost died.
All right, let's go. Let's get on with the show, shall we?
Yeah.
Aussie Rules Football. I'm not sure if it's a fandom, but it's a pretty fucking fun game to watch. And for
are there fans? I'm going to Australia. That's
Hold on. I got a question, though. Are there fans? Are there fans?
Then it's there a fan.
It's a motherfucking fandom.
There you go.
It's the number one sport in Australia. It's like the NFL is here.
Yeah.
And it's second.
I just have one more question about this, and then we can move on. Where does one watch this sport?
ESPN.
ESPN 7.
Ocho.
No, honestly, Ocho. No, if it's not YouTube and people pirating things on like Twitter or Reddit or whatever, there is an app that allows you access to their major networks for an overseas watch.
You got to check it out. It's great. And for like
ESPN 8,
there's a like I'm a closet sports nerd. I don't like to talk about, like I'll talk about my nerdery openly, but Aussie Rules Football, that's one of the ones I do enjoy.
Tommy, we're not meant to be.
Well, we know what the next podcast is going to be.
That and underwater water polo. That one's or underwater volleyball. That one's fun. But for completely different reasons.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to figure out how we play underwater volleyball.
Sounds like a euphemism for something, to be honest.
Underwater volleyball. And underwater hockey. Underwater hockey is fun, too.
Ooh.
Pool hockey. Yeah. It's not a euphemism. Pool hockey.
I don't believe you.
No, it's not. I swear to God. It's not.
Underwater tonsil hockey?
No, that's different. This is a fucking kids show. We can't talk about stuff like
that. I don't think it's a when? Fucking kids show.
You ever try to make out underwater?
No, I would drown.
Yeah, I know. Me either.
Would you drown? Because you're already not breathing because you're underwater.
Well, it depends. Are you going to keep like stopping every, you know, like how long you make it out for without going up for air?
I don't, for as long as you can hold your breath.
If you're able to make a good feel, you should be fine, right? As long
It'd
as
be
you
an interesting
just
challenge.
Infinite loop of air just going back
right,
and
just
forth.
Pass oxygen back
yeah, that's,
and forth.
I don't think that's how it works. I think you pass carbon dioxide when you exhale.
Because obviously you got to close the seal before you go down into the water.
Yeah, so close the seal, then go down.
Yeah.
Join us next week when we attempt an underwater.
See, boys and girls,
underwater makeout session. That's our OnlyFans.
All right,
and
well,
that's why we're canceled.
Everyone, we need to do a whole episode on like nerd sexuality. Just like you know, just because the
I think that we have enough of that sprinkled in throughout all the other shows. I don't think we need a whole show dedicated to it.
Yes, we do.
It's all Star Wars and dicks when we get down to it.
Three engine seems, baby.
I moved all my other stuff around, so I don't know. I'm still, there we go. That was for you, Doug. Why is there nothing on anyway? Back to the show.
Tangent.
So what we're talking about in our first little bit here, our first segment? Tell us, because I'm sure everyone wants to know, the nerdiest thing that you have ever done in your entire life.
Ever done?
Ever?
I don't know. Is that what I wasn't
no,
part of the meeting
lately? So what was the last thing you did?
Oh, I didn't read
anything you did.
I misread my notes and I apologize. Yeah,
to catch us up.
I'm
going to jump in right away just based on the topic. The nerdiest thing that I've done recently was I absolutely spent, I think, up to 5 days, maybe put in 20 hours on an Excel spreadsheet on how to track the games statistics for Aussie Rules football. I have a ultra complicated spreadsheet on how to track it myself as I watch it. Yeah.
And he has a friends league that he made with his own point rules and everything.
Mm-hmm. And how many people are in this league?
At least like 10 or 15 of our friends.
Like, really? We have 13 teams out of an 18 team league.
Yeah. So there's room for more if you guys want to hop in.
I mean, I might be on that.
I mean, the funniest part is based on Aaron's rules, like the results in the real world don't necessarily match up with the results of the Friends League.
And that's the fun part.
So my team last year, the Geelong Cats, which I picked strictly because their mascot was the Cats like 3 years ago, they won the championship in real life last year. And then I came in second in the Friends League and I have not gotten over it.
Yeah. Just, well, that's the way math works. Win. It's got to be like how each team plays against each other in this micro league in the larger league, right?
But I think the year before, didn't I win the Friends League? Like 2 years ago, I won the Friends League, but I didn't make it to the championship, right?
I don't know. I don't remember.
Thanks.
I don't think that's I don't think that's right.
Oh. I clearly pay attention to his favorite fandom.
I love it. I fucking love it. V, what about you? What's the nerdiest thing
recently
that you've done recently? Don't say Fan Expo.
I'm not going to. So mine actually involves props. Yeah. So I have to try and save money. I made lists of things that like I would like high ticket items, but only if I saw them under a certain price range.
Okay.
To, you know. And unfortunately, in one day, like the top two items on my list both hit well under their price point. So we're doing some rebalancing of the budget. But the first thing is my NeoPixel Kanan Jarrus lightsaber. Oh. I didn't bring the blade because that'd be a bit too bulky. But it is screen accurate replica. I'm sorry, I got this for Aaron as a gift, not for me.
Oh yeah, not for you.
Yeah, but because for his cosplay, but
I just want all of our listeners to stop and just take a nice long look at that. That is just beautiful.
Oh, you can't look at it. You should become a Patroni, and then you can.
What is this in here? Is that a butt plug?
No, what? No, that's the stopper.
To protect the.
Yeah, as Doug said, if you would like to see this this fabulous contraption.
No, it is absolutely beautiful.
The shape of the item he was pointing at would be a horrifying butt plug, I must imagine. But the other thing is this book called Dressing a Galaxy, which
I've seen that.
If you go on eBay, you'll be hard-pressed to find it under $500. I got mine for about $200, which, again, well under what I wanted. But it was, if I remember correctly, it was only for sale at like an exhibit that they did with Star Wars costumes, and they were limited run. You can't find them anywhere. Right. I got mine for so cheap because, God forbid, there was a peeled sticker on the back. And I said, I don't care about that. I know it's going to be really hard to see, and the people watching or listening can't really see it, but it has such detailed, like, close-ups of all of like the prequel costumes and everything.
That was that traveling, it was a traveling art exhibit that was going all over the place. And yeah, you're right, that I think that was an exclusive for that. But
yeah,
so you as a cosplayer, how valuable of a resource is that? You know, I mean, as a cosplayer and a crafter yourself,
it is incredible, because as a cosplayer, there is nothing more infuriating than not finding high definition 360 photos of a character online. So you're like watching a movie and like frame by frame trying to find the clearest thing. So especially for like characters like Padme or things like that, there's so much detailing in these costumes that were either, you know, cut based on where the scene was framed,
right,
or, you know, it just didn't, you know, wasn't in clear framage, but like I can see the most insane amount of detail, and it is incredible, because for people who want to do like such screen accurate, you can see the detail of the beading in every single stitch in some of these photos. So, you know, it can be really useful even for casual cosplayers, but for those people who are going to spend years doing, you know, hand embroidery on things, I mean, this is the best resource you could ever imagine.
Inspiration.
And just for like designing other costumes that are in world, that have that in world vibe. That's awesome. Yeah. That's awesome.
It's all amazing.
Right. Dog, what's the nerdiest thing you've done lately?
I suppose I should have been thinking about this. So I guess
just say the show and move on. And then
I guess it's the show. Cause like, here's the thing. I don't think I've spent more than 5 minutes on anything.
What about your concert that you did? The concert you did recently, two concerts you did recently.
Oh yeah, I guess that I just associate it with work at this point. So my band, actually, the Jason Donovan Band, for those of you viewing at home, I'm wearing our merch. Yeah, baby. So we do nerdy, I guess it's not explicitly nerdy, but we do covers. We're a cover band, and we do movie soundtrack songs. And then in the second set, we did the Rocky Horror Show. So the Rocky Horror Show is pretty nerdy. I'll give it that.
Oh yeah.
But then the real time to shine for Doug on stage with the Jason Donovan Band is our Tenacious D cover set, which we'll be performing later this year in June at the Nelson Ledges Quarry Park. So
nice.
That'll be a good time. I guess that's nerdy.
Yeah, it is.
I also DM. Like, it's, I guess that's nerdy. I don't think about that. A DM. And I play Octopath Traveler a lot.
Okay.
So
that's all very nerdy. Heck yeah. When are you going to DM for us?
Look, we have a better DM in this group, and that is Daddy Louie.
Yeah, Daddy Louie. Daddy Lou is tremendous.
Our campaign will take 20 hours, not because of like the actual length of the campaign, but we're going to side quest the shit out of it. And Louie's going to have to drag us back to the main mission, kicking and screaming.
If we for real do this Atla TTRPG, like, oh my God, I'm so excited.
Well, Doug and I had the privilege of
I have the book.
Being DM'd
I know.
By Louie. He DM'd the hell out of us. What was that we were playing?
Forbidden Lands,
and yeah, it was
fun system.
So much fun, digital die rolling. You didn't need a bunch of books and paper. Everything was on the computer. It was great. And Louis is a tremendous storyteller too. So it was a good time. So hopefully we can do much more of that. So Louis, you sir, what's the nerdiest thing you've done lately?
Well, I was actually going to say something else, and then V started talking about things she's bought recently. So I got Grogu sitting over there.
Go get him!
I should have brought him over here. All right, hold on.
Get him for our listeners, so our listeners can see him.
You tell us your nerdy thing while he gets him.
Yeah.
Probably this show. I've been making so many like just different graphics. That's not really nerdy though. Spending like way too much time in Fallout 76 building things that no one will ever see or appreciate.
Playing games no one plays. That's
oh my good. God! That is
look it.
Is that so the side gorgeous. The sideshow?
This is actually the Hot Toys. So Hot Toys and Sideshow both have one. The difference between the two is that from what I can tell, is that the Sideshow one came out first, mm-hmm. and it's much more of a statue than like a figure, whereas this is a figure. Like, his arms can move, his legs can move, his mouth opens.
That's awesome.
Oh my god.
He has interchangeable ears, so you can...
That was terrifying. You gotta. You need to prep us for that. You can't just pull off Grogu's ears.
He has interchangeable hands.
He's dismembering. So to our podcast.
The ball is magnetized.
Daddy Louie is dismembering Grogu in front of us.
Yeah, go watch our Patreon.
I'm not trying to sound weird when I ask this, but what's under his little tunic? Like, did they make a full little Grogu baby body, or is it just like a sack? Look at his little leg!
Oh, he's got cute little legs.
Wait,
is he wearing a diaper? Is that like a little? Does he have a body?
It's like a black. It's just like a black undersuit.
Okay, I wasn't expecting his legs to be that long, based on the way that thing waddles in the show. I was expecting like a penguin, like just like 1 inch off the ground, just kind of like.
No, he's got some jarring. Grogu is not skipping leg day either. He's got some definition on the calves. You got to get him a chainmail undershirt now, Louie.
Yeah.
You got to find...
I posted pictures of him online, and somebody said, did you hug him when you opened the box? And I said, you're gosh darn right I did.
Yeah, of course he did.
Now, what, Louie, if I'm not mistaken...
I mean, that's like a mandatory thing.
Yeah. Your household, though, has a number of pets, right? Like some reptilian pets? Like, you don't have any frogs or anything, right? You got to walk away.
I have no frogs.
Okay, because that thing is going to come to life in the middle, like some child's play shit, and it is going to eat every reptilian or amphibian it can find.
He has small dogs, though, and I think that Grogu would munch on a chihuahua.
Oh, that's... absolutely.
Yeah. For sure.
And hopefully the chihuahua will munch on Grogu, though, because that looks like a big, giant, fun chew toy.
There was an interview clip I saw this morning of Katie Sackhoff, and she was talking about how... she was talking about how... the puppets, because there's like five puppeteers who do like all of the movements and everything. And so, they called cut on a scene, and she didn't realize that those people had not walked away from the controls. So she's just sitting there talking to the Grogu puppet, and she's like, oh, so how are you doing today? You know, yeah, you're so big and scary, aren't you? And so then the puppeteers like changed Grogu's face, and she's like, yeah. And she was like, oh my God.
She's having a full blown adult conversation with a Grogu puppet from the show.
How fun must it be to work on that set? To walk into the volume with those tremendous actors and the tremendous artists that do all the behind the scenes work. It's like, that's not even, I don't feel like it's hard work, of course, but man, they've got to be just loving life, especially like if they're nerds themselves in real life, which I think Katie Sackhoff is. I think she is a weird nerd.
You don't have,
for sure.
You don't have Katie Sackhoff's resume without being a fucking nerd.
She's like, a legit nerd. Yeah.
She carried an entire season of Battlestar Galactica.
She did.
Like,
she carried most of the show. I mean,
there were some other good performances, but like season in particular that was like just a drag, and she just carried it
because she's so good. And Doug, I don't know if you know this, but she did many guest appearances on The Big Bang Theory.
And you just keep twisting it.
There's
The Big Bang Theory is fine, man. It's fine. It's just not my thing.
It's fine. I know it's not your thing. But we'll make it your thing, the same way that we're making the Clone Wars Louis thing.
By constant nagging and berating and shaming.
No, you know what? In all seriousness, though, like, I am so freaking into Star Wars right now. Between the awesomeness that is The Mandalorian Season 3, which we don't have to talk about right here because that would be its own.
We don't have time.
Whole thing.
That's a whole show.
And the order in which I am watching the episodes of the Clone Wars, I definitely have a much more strong appreciation for what Dave Filoni's ultimate goal was, right? Mm-hmm. Which is, well, what I foresee the ultimate goal being, which is making the prequels better.
Yes.
Right. Yeah. So there were so many people who were upset by the prequels, myself included, and already just... I'm like just about done with season two, going into season three of the Clone Wars. And I already love the prequel trilogy more than I did just off of seeing. I think it's Anakin, right?
Yeah.
I think it's.
Yes.
Yes.
Because
in Hayden Christensen,
say it the
same way.
That is the character that did not get to flesh out properly in the prequels. And this allows us to do that.
And
I think that that's what Jon Favreau is doing with The Mandalorian. He's making the sequels better.
Yes. And that's the thing. Like, so when the sequels came out and everyone hated on him, I was like, give it time. Give it time. They were fine. I didn't think they were great. They were fine. I thought they did some really interesting things. But then I watched The Resistance, or at least a season and a half of it. I couldn't get through it all. I will go back and rewatch it, but because I had the same experience, I hated the prequels. I thought they were dog shit. Yeah. And then I watched Clone Wars, and now I think, like, if I rank my 11 Star Wars movies, the prequels are all at least two levels higher for me, because which is wild because I already loved Attack of the Clones, which that might be a hot take, but...
Louis is like, we don't have to.
That's another episode.
Yeah. You know, I was nine. Going to date myself here. I was nine when Phantom Menace came out, which was the perfect age to watch that movie because it's a kids' movie.
It is
through and through. Mm-hmm. And so I was, I think, 15 then when Revenge of the Sith came out, because that's 2005 or 2003. Yeah.
Five.
2005.
Yeah. So by the time Revenge of the Sith came out, I was kind of lukewarm on the prequels. Didn't watch them for a while. Went back and watched them a little bit when I was a little bit older, and I was like, ooh. But then watched the Clone Wars, and it completely, like you said, Louis, it gives it so much more appreciation, and it made me realize that the prequels is an incredible story told by the most, like, ADHD, drunken, spacey storyteller ever, who's, like, going on, like, a rant about the wrong part of the story. And you're like, hey, come back to the center. It's like, oh, yeah, we don't need to focus on the pod racing for literally 30 minutes. You know, but, like, it builds such a rich world. And honestly, if it was not for the Clone Wars being so successful, I don't think we would have had anything after Revenge of the Sith. I think that the creation and success of the Clone Wars TV show showed that there was still a market for good Star Wars storytelling, because not only did it bring new fans in, it made people love the prequels more. But that's, again, an hour-long rant that I'm cutting on short.
Here's the last
thing. Yeah, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Last thing. Louie, I don't know if she put this in the watch order for you, and I'm not trying to discount because V is incredible and her list is awesome, but when you get to the end, when you get to the Siege of Mandalore episode, you have to watch it interspliced with Revenge of the Sith.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It makes I thought Revenge of the Sith was a good movie. It makes Revenge of the Sith maybe my favorite Star Wars movie. That the added,
which,
like,
which episode are you talking about?
It's the last four of season seven.
Episodes of Clone Wars. Yeah,
I will
send you. Like, start Revenge of the Sith and then stop and watch a thing, and then
you literally, I think it, you start with a couple one episode of Clone Wars, and then you go back and you watch up into a certain point of the movie, then you switch back to
they're happening simultaneously.
Yeah.
Send me that for sure.
It's so
when I get
good
to that point. I really like the order in which things are going right now, and I am appreciating, like, the just the humanization of the clones and the development of not just Anakin as a character, but Anakin, like, being conflicted with himself while also trying to appear unconflicted to his Padawan. And his Padawan is very clearly seeing the conflict very early on. And so even her, she's like, should I, you know, act how I see it, or should I act how I'm supposed to be, right? Like, it's almost like when you have a crazy aunt who does everything the opposite of your mother, right? And it's like, do I do what mom says, or do I do what my cool aunt says?
Right.
That's kind of what I'm seeing in Ahsoka, right? It's like, do I do what the Jedi are supposed to do, or do I do what Anakin's doing? Because what Anakin's doing looks way more fun.
That is my favorite like set of memes, is like the people who are like, well, in any situation, it's basically Mace Windu and Obi-Wan just kind of face palming as Rex, Anakin, and Ahsoka are off to the side, like, woo!
can we talk about Mace Windu for 1 second, right? I could have given two shits about that character until I started watching the Clone Wars. Holy shit, is that guy badass.
Here's the thing about the Clone Wars. Yeah. This is the beauty of the Clone Wars. It's kind of like that umami. It's like when you add MSG or a spice or, you know, adobo to something, right? It just makes everything better. Like when you're...
It's the garlic powder of the Star Wars recipe.
Chef kiss. It's like even with the Siege of Mandalore, not only does it enhance the flavor of Revenge of the Sith, but it also enhances the flavor of the current season of The Mandalorian, you know, season 3. So when we'll avoid spoilers, but it'll already be out. But anyway, but when you're watching the Siege of Mandalore and then when you see Mandalore. On The Mandalorian, the heart is breaking. I mean, you have so much more of a connection.
Just wait until he gets to Rebels and sees all of the Mandalorian stuff in Rebels. That just, it's a 1-2 punch, man.
Because like if you haven't seen the Clone Wars, if you haven't seen Rebels, and you're dealing with Bo and in the Mandalorian, you're getting such a small fraction of her emotion. But when you go back and when you watch the Siege of Mandalore and when you watch Rebels and you've seen Bo in action, and you see how much she loved, and you see what it was before what we see in The Mandalorian. It's just all over the place.
They were also incredible in keeping, because Katie Sackhoff was the voice actor too.
She was the voice. Yes. Yeah, she was the voice.
So, like, she is so
you have one actor who has experienced the entire journey in different mediums. And like, I mean, she has an interview where she talks about walking on set for the first time to play Bo-Katan in live action, and she was like, "This is surreal."
Yeah.
And I guess Filoni told her during the Clone Wars, he's like, "Don't just wait, man. Just wait till we get you on screen." And she was like, "You're full of shit. Like, this is a kid show." And now it's happening. She's fucking.
I was so when they cast her in the live action, beautiful. That was just one of those like fucking yes.
I know we have more stuff to do, so I'm gonna call this comment the last comment. But I will say, Katie Sackhoff's Bo-Katan, of characters that we have seen in the Mandalorian show that we were introduced elsewhere, I feel has the most consistent character. And not just because it was voiced and played by the same person, but how she's written in the Mandalorian is so on par with how she was written in Clone Wars that it feels so seamless.
I love it. All right, we're going to move on. But I'm going to say one thing.
last comment.
After V's last comment. There's a scene in Mandalorian season 3 where Bo is sitting on the throne and she just has this look of I don't want to call it defeat. It's just, she's just depleted, you know,
she's and done at that point. Just, she's just done.
You see her sitting on that throne in that empty castle, her family's castle, but you don't understand the weight of that scene if you haven't seen the Clone Wars. And having seen the Clone Wars, that scene, I don't know if it's a hot take or not, but that is by far at the moment to date the best scene in Mandalorian season 3 for me, my opinion, because of the weight of it. Because, you know, to people that haven't seen it, she's just sitting there. Is she bored? Is she waiting on her DoorDash to arrive? I mean, what's going on? But for those of us that know Bo, you don't know Bo, but you know Bo. She's carrying the weight of Mandalore on her beautiful and strong shoulders. And does anybody else have a last comment?
Yeah. So I want. No, I'm kidding. Let's move on.
I'm purposely keeping my mouth shut because.
All right. Yeah. Because we'll just
deep dive into Bo. But
this is what we do. This is what we do. This is why everything turns into Star Wars and dicks. We're sans dicks at the moment, but stay tuned. That could change. For now, that could change.
So our first topic was about dicks, right? On our first episode, wasn't it? Like, what would you tattoo on your dick?
Yeah, what would you tattoo?
Yeah.
So, yeah. we'll just have to put all that stuff together.
Did any of us commit and get the tattoo is the real question.
I can't afford it. I can't afford a tattoo.
I like that it wasn't that you wouldn't. It's just you can't afford it.
And enter. Like, that's probably the best one. So
speak friend and enter.
First, yeah, and I'll follow.
Melon.
All right. So we are going to jump into the high ground here. But before we do that, we would be remiss if we did not mention our friends and partners out there in the podcast verse. They're out there in the nerdy verse along with us. Head Nerds in Charge, please check them out. They're doing a lot of great stuff. They have got lots of live content, so if you like live shows, they absolutely focus on blurred life, blurred culture, and they're doing a lot of important work. They're doing great work out there, and they're definitely keeping it nerdy. Do not take your kids to see their show. That is, they do not do kids stuff. So you definitely want to be aware of that, but they're doing great things. Blurred's Eye View, that is our very own Chris Fury. He started up his own podcast, and him and his crew are doing a spectacular job, Cleveland's own, and they're doing a great job. We love Chris Fury and everything he's doing. And again, not necessarily safe for work or children. If you want that sort of safe for work and children, you want to check out World Gone Geek. Jeff and his crew are always keeping it super nerdy, keeping it geeky. They've got great guests on all the time. They do some live shows, and it's family friendly. So it's eye and ear bleach after you deal with us. So there you go. Those are our shout outs because we like to shout them out. And V, are you ready?
I am.
All right. Let's jump in the high ground here.
I have the high ground.
God. Woo! I love that so much.
So hard. All right, V, take it away. What are we doing? Tell us about the high ground. What is this craziness?
So high ground is where I usually give you guys characters, situations, and you have to explain to me why your character would be the most successful in the given situation. But I'm changing it up a little bit this week.
Uh-oh.
But no, to make it simpler on everyone.
Uh-oh.
So everyone's on their own team.
Uh-oh.
And you're going to have about
Battle Royale.
We're going about 1 to 2 minutes per person.
All right.
What you need to do is let's just assume my lovely husband, Aaron, has perished tragically trying to save our animals from a house fire.
Doing something heroic.
Yeah.
So dark.
But he still gets to play the game. I need a new person in my life, right? Oh. So you need to pick a nerdy fandom, whatever character. Obi-Wan, that's too easy. I'm removing him from contention. Pick a character and plan the perfect day-long date. So we need something like a cute breakfast plan, an afternoon activity, where are they taking me to dinner, and what happens after dinner.
So it's the dating game, but nerdy?
Yeah. Yeah. Find me a new nerdy character husband or wife. You know what? Like, listen, whoever you think, not Obi-Wan. It's too easy.
Across all fandoms. So Obi-Wan is the given with you, though. I mean, that's like,
yeah, that's why I have to remove it, because basically it would be whoever's the first person to say Obi-Wan is going to win. So
are we saying fictional characters or like all fictional characters, or they have to be a part of a nerd property? I guess we are the circle of nerds.
Let's do all fictional characters. Yeah.
Then I have a cop-out answer, but it's the right answer.
You know what? Do whatever your heart desires.
First.
All right. And no, this is not anyone's chance to try to win the heart of my wife.
Well, they're fictional characters, though. I mean,
okay, all right. Yeah, I just wanted to make sure. Doug's like,
I'm married to several fictional characters.
Well, it's not a real person, but it might be played by the same person who plays Obi-Wan in live action.
Oh.
So maybe I'll go more creative.
Okay,
so it's either, because I'm on the big screen right now.
You're on the big screen.
It's either Christian from Moulin Rouge, living the bohemian life, wearing A shirts, growing a beard, serenading. Or it is Zuko, Prince Zuko.
Ooh.
Would be my choice.
Okay.
So if we're saying fictional nerdverse, then Prince Zuko's the answer, but we can ponder on Christian later because I'm pretty sure that's a good answer.
I don't have a giant Moulin Rouge poster in my wall at home. It's fine.
Oh, fuck, I really should have leaned into that one. Anyway,
Zuko.
Prince Zuko. We can just go on. We're done here.
No, we'll go with Zuko to keep it fair.
Yeah, so Prince Zuko.
So we're done. I'm out.
I think Prince Zuko is a great candidate to replace your deceased husband, Aaron. I hate even saying that. It makes me like
no,
sad.
That's just fine. That's
I don't like the game.
No, it's actually kind of funny.
He's a little moody, but I feel like you like things a little spicy sometimes. And the perfect date with Prince Zuko would start with, of course, an intimate brunch somewhere on the outskirts of the Fire Nation. Beautiful mountain ranges in the background as you're taking in your bottomless mimosas. The best thing with having Prince Zuko for your perfect date is that you also get to spend lunch with his uncle Iroh, who gives wonderful advice and distributes the tastiest of teas that may also have some medicinal effect, some perception altering
additions cactus juice tea.
To the tea. Look, if you don't think Uncle Iroh is putting all sorts of shit in that tea to get high as shit, you're wrong.
How do you think he's doing?
So now you're tripping balls with Zuko, and you get to go out and enjoy the lush green countryside of the Fire Nation. You get to, you know, hang out, do that like rolling down the hill thing they do in Attack of the Clones, Padme and Anakin. And he treats you to dinner, of course. And I'm trying to think of the animals, because all the animals in Atla are like two animals combined, and I can't think of one that would be particularly tasty.
What about a chicken fish?
Yeah, it's like that one. That just feels weird. Probably like a chicken cow, though. Chicken like cow? Something that's a, although V, I think you're vegetarian, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
So he treats you to vegetarian things.
They have Beyond Meat, Beyond Beef,
Beyond Beef from the Fire Nation.
Possible meat.
And then in the evening, we're gonna rely on his knowledge of your love of the performing arts. And we'll have a nice intimate dinner at a small bistro before a walk, a quiet, calm walk through the calm city on your way to the theater, where you're going to take in a beautiful musical romantic comedy. He will gently brush your shoulder as he puts his arm around you. And just makes you feel comfortable. You lean in tenderly. The thing about this date that makes it perfect is that it's not necessarily about the fact that he's going to take you to Pound Town, because he is.
And there's the dicks.
We have dicks, ladies and gentlemen. We have dicks.
Prince Zuko makes you feel safe. And he makes you feel taken care of in a way that you might already be familiar with. You are already familiar with. And then the show ends, and you guys go grab some drinks and take off your clothes and just ravish each other.
No complaints from me. All right, who's next? Oh,
God. Literal smoke coming out of his...
No, dude, you're going next, because I have...
I'm going next. I got nothing, bro.
I got an idea.
I just want to give that to Doug. Like,
Doug,
I bow to Doug. All in on that.
Doug is a great winger. His creativity is off the charts, and he can improv.
Yeah, that was a totally unprepared answer.
Well, no, so. It was fantastic. It was great. But to give you some more time, Louie and Tommy, I've got an answer. All right. Oh. So, as you're grieving me, you realized you needed to get out of America. So where are you going to go? The first thing that pops into your head is, well, why not London? You need to see some culture in the world. And my will has left you enough to get to the cheapest place. And I guess that's England. It would probably be Canada, but you know
what? I feel like the cheapest place would be Akron.
Yeah.
But let's just say
not even Canton can't make it that far.
No, just I want her to be happy. She ends up going to see places she's never gone. So London. And while you're in London, you recognize somebody who looks rather familiar to you, and it is a tall, handsome guy who introduces himself as Peter Pevensey. And Peter,
Hiking Peter from the Chronicles of Narnia.
And Peter then invites you to have breakfast on the grounds of his estate. And there you begin this date. And this is obviously months later, if not years later, not like the next day.
It's like so,
45 minutes.
The last right. shovel of dirt goes over. And we're like, and he's in there? All right. Woo!
So at an appropriate amount of time after grieving, he invites you to he invites you to have breakfast on the grounds. And because I know you, you're not going to really want to do it like one-on-one all the time. He makes it comfortable. Mm-hmm. So he friends and the family. So you get to meet Edmund, Susan and Lucy, mm-hmm. In addition to other friends, and you have breakfast on the grounds. You guys are having a nice time. He's endearing himself to you, mm-hmm. introducing you to a safe environment. And then they also teach you how to play cricket. So you're learning new things. You're having new experiences. All the while he's endearing you with his fiery personality and leadership qualities showing up. And then the date progresses. He says, do you want to get imaginative? Do you want to like see new things, things you've never done? Because I know you love animals. Mm-hmm. Come on to the wardrobe.
That is the best.
Isn't that weird?
Hold on. Everyone, take note. Come to the wardrobe is officially the best wardrobe. Pickup line I've ever goddamn heard.
Well, it depends who's asking.
Right. You want to come to the wardrobe?
Come in the wardrobe is a different question.
Yeah.
And maybe a better question.
Perhaps. But again, it all depends on the asker.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. So you've toured delivering. This giant estate, and then he puts this giant coat on you that makes you feel warm and safe. And then you go into the wardrobe and into this luscious area. Well, wait, it wouldn't be winter, would it?
No, it would not be winter anymore.
All right. Well, you get to tour and look at these cool coats, but then you go into Narnia.
Sorry.
You're into Narnia. And the thing that you would have loved the most in your life, you finally get to be able to do. You are talking to animals. Ladies and gentlemen, the animal lover, the savior of Ohio City's cat population is now talking to cats. And they're talking back in full sentences. So the date progresses where he introduces you to all these animals that you get to talk to, interact with, you're playing around, and then you're horseback riding on the beaches of Narnia. How fucking cool is that?
That's pretty damn good.
Right?
So this is the life that he's introduced you to, and you have at your fingertips, should you accept?
Feels like you know her too well for this to be a fair fight.
It feels like I've drunkenly forced him to watch The Chronicles of Narnia, Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe.
That is true.
And every single time I do,
do things.
I just go, I used to love that actor so much.
So I just want to be clear, though. Peter Pevensey does not get to lay pipe on date number one.
Wait, but Zuko does?
Of course.
Well, Zuko is Zuko, but
it was a part of the date. I programmed it. It's pre-programmed.
Doug, no. I am not going to put this into that date. I cannot accept it. I will allow you to imagine whatever date for Ventus you want to. Louie, Tommy, no holds barred. But I want her to be set business. Up and happy for a long time.
Good.
Although I didn't think of this as, I didn't even think of this as like the rebound date. Maybe that's what you need. Oh, God. No, I've set up a long-term thing for you. There Aww. You go.
So maybe Zuko is the rebound. And then Peter's the long term.
I rebound like a champ.
And you're like, oh, that was...
Or maybe Louie has...
I got nothing. I got nothing.
Louie, what you got? You got 2 minutes. That's what you got.
Oh, my God. I don't even know. My initial thought was... I just don't know V well enough to have a good answer.
I can
honestly.
I can throw out some characters I do like, and stuff, and then you can maybe pick one you like.
Every time
my thought gravitated to Thor,
Ooh,
like Thor okay. as a character, not necessarily I mean, I guess we could use MCU Thor, right? Because
yes,
it's the only one I know.
That's the only boy there. Whatever. Why can I not think of his name?
Chris Hemsworth.
Chris Hemsworth. I kept wanting to say Chris Evans. You know, he's funny. He's kind of witty. He's going to try and charm you with his corny one-line pickups or his, you know, that dumb charm, right? Like, I'm strong, but I'm really stupid. And you're not going to fall for that right away. You're going to be like, gosh, this guy is so annoying. But then he's going to take you, you know, through the Bifrost to the different places. You're going to go to Asgard. You're going to go to all the other
Asgard. Am I right?
Yes. Right. He's going to wine and dine you with all the best that Asgard has to offer. He's going to take you on some adventures. Maybe he even throws you into a little bit of danger. That way you get to, you know, be a heroine and see what it's like to rock alongside with Thor. And the only problem is you have to deal with this pesky half brother.
I mean,
but maybe you're okay with that. Maybe you're like, you know what? I'll take you both. I'll take you both at the same time.
I don't think
there's anything weird about a half brother threesome. Not at all. They're half brothers.
They're not even technically blood related. Just
yeah,
saying.
They're not blood related at all.
It's not weird.
It's true.
It's not weird,
He's
bro.
An adopted half brother, right?
You're stuck there, step bro.
It's a gray line, but it is there.
I'm stuck in the washing machine. Step bro, can you help me?
It's definitely of your current three choices. He's definitely right, like the most muscular and the most like, ooh, I get to touch things and there are bulges in places I didn't know that you could have bulges. Right?
Wait.
I mean, think about it, right? Like Zuko has like those supernatural powers, but he's
trim as fuck. All right, yes. don't
he's
you
a scrawny little
the
guy.
Of
Peter's
Zuko.
A scrawny little guy. Thor is like not.
I love the selling point so far is we have medicinal quote unquote tea, then we have talking to animals and just bulges everywhere.
Bulges everywhere.
I think
sparks
I think,
coming out. Like
I
you
think
know,
you've read the room. You've read the
every
room.
Every time you touch him, it's like, oh yeah, electricity. Oh,
I love
good
it.
Point.
I love
that
it.
Is a great point.
All right, Tommy, what you got?
Well, unfortunately, we don't have time for mine.
Are you kidding me?
We're at 51 minutes so far, so we need to kind of get the show moving on. So I had something, but we just don't have time for it. I was going to say Captain Christopher Pike, but I think from the Strange New World series. I don't know if you've seen it yet.
I have not.
But just look up Captain Christopher Pike. Maybe it's because I want to date him.
Is that actor? What's his name? I think isn't he in Cleveland right now?
I don't know. I don't know anything. Oh yeah, yeah, he is.
I forget his name.
Captain Christopher Pike.
He's very good looking.
He is very good looking.
If I have to pick Tommy, yeah. I'll exclude you because you didn't set up a date. But visually. Ace
but
choice.
The date, I mean, he's a starship captain. I mean, he will literally show you the stars. And he cooks. He's a great cook. He's a kind and thorough lover. Mm-hmm. I think he looks like he would be a kind and thorough lover.
Thorough.
You speak as if you have
not gentle. Thorough.
A kind and thorough lover. Now, in my imaginings,
Anson Mount.
There you go. And. He is one of the few gentlemen. Like if you're into Star Trek, even if you're not into Star Trek, do watch Strange New Worlds. It's a great series. And he is a tremendous actor. He is one of those few men who is handsome as fuck with a beard and handsome as fuck without a beard.
That's a
like
skill.
Either way, it's like he's like because some people you don't want to see what's underneath the beard. It's like they take it off. It's like oh God, where's your chin? Put the beard back. But this guy, oof. Anyway. So we'll move on. So V, all right. Mm-hmm. your decision.
All right. Okay. So my you were missed. I grieved you for the appropriate amount of time that no one questioned
minutes.
It.
45 minutes.
okay. I think and I'll make my explanation of it very quick, but I'm gonna go with Prince Zuko.
Yeah.
Aaron, come back. Don't leave. Aaron, don't leave.
Okay. So the reason why because I think it's a great date. I think especially given his character arc, he can make a very good long-term partner. And not going to lie, the laying of the pipe definitely helps. The reason I did not go with Thor is I feel like based on the movies, he is just way too hung up on Jane. Like he would be getting with me because like his loneliness, but not because he's actually open to the relationship.
And he works a lot. He'll never be home. Yeah. He's always saving the galaxy.
Yeah. What if you also went to him because of your loneliness, because of the immense black hole that not
I grieved and I healed. And the reason
Aaron, come over to my team. I'll treat you good, baby.
The reason I didn't go with Peter Pevensey is only because Aaron's canonical knowledge of the line "The Witch in the Wardrobe" was so wrong in the scenario he painted. They only can get to the wardrobe, only takes them there once, and they are basically summoned at the behest of Aslan randomly. And I can just imagine him being like, "No, like, just if you stick around with me a little bit longer, I swear to God, at some point,
this you'll magical stay in this wardrobe eventually.
You want a journey, girl?
He's gonna promise me." He's going to promise me talking animals. He can't deliver because it's not up to him.
Right. To 200 when to years have gone by and it's like, fantastic, dude, you still haven't been summoned.
Like, you promised me, you know?
So. I love that explanation, actually.
Yeah.
I accept it.
Factually, you were just wrong and I really couldn't get over it.
All right, I'm going to take my W either way.
Doug, you are the winner today. Hey, there we go.
Wait, isn't Dante Basco in town also?
Say again?
Is it Dante?
Yeah.
He's in town. But like, he go up to be like, sir, you just won the game.
You just won the game. Like, okay. Well done, everyone. That's the high ground always. And I feel like we need to bookend the high ground with the intro one more time. Just because
just
it's fucking.
I have the high ground. I have the high ground.
God.
I just like to praise through my dance.
Thank you. Thank you for the time.
Can we just have an hour long episode of us just listening to that over and over again?
We'll have to be on the high ground first.
I see what you did there.
It's a drill, kids.
Yeah, I think we got it. Let me see. Do I have, this is exciting.
We're going to cut this bit out.
Nah. No, we'll leave it in here. No, I was just adding the high ground music to our deck here. That way we can listen to it whenever we want now. Mm. It doesn't have the cool stuff that was cut in with let me see.
Oh, look at Aaron pop that chest. Maybe. I was like,
get it, buddy, get it.
I'm feeling bulges I didn't know existed.
Bulges everywhere.
Bulges. Just things bulging.
Just things bulging.
All right, we are going to take a quick pseudo commercial break. And when we come back, we are going to be talking about Monsters in Town.
Are we?
3 minutes. Or not. Or
for three minutes, yes. Let's see.
Let's see what happens. Let's do our Let's promo. All right, there's your promo. Quick and painless. So for everyone who didn't see that, all of our listener, just follow us. All of our listener. Just
drop the S off of that.
Well, you know. Follow us on all of our social media accounts. We are Circle of Nerds everywhere. And of course, if you would like to see us in action, all you have to do is head on over to patreon.com/circleofnerds and you can watch us in our natural habitat. And of course, if you want to rock with some of our gear, some of our fresh drips that eat with no crumbs, then what's everything okay?
Yeah, Aaron kind of disassociated for a second and looked really pouty, so I was giving him a tap on the knee to remind him he was on camera.
It's okay.
All right. He's just like,
I was thinking of a question coming up. Sorry.
He was thinking about
you're thinking faces alarming.
I was thinking about Dante Basco Pound Town and I got sad.
Oh geez. Circleofnerds.com/merch and you can look like one of these fine folks right there. For all of our listeners, it's just pretty people wearing our merch. So CircleNerds.com.
We should crop out their faces and put our faces in there.
That is a splendid idea. And I've already got an idea of who's going to go where.
Excellent. It's going to be horrifying, and I can't wait.
Oh, God. It's going to be terrible. It's going to be absolutely terrible. All right. So you guys came up with some very, very, very cool cool topics of conversation. We might run a little bit over today, maybe a little bit, just a little bit. But we want to talk about monsters coming to town and which fictional character are you going to hire to deal with those monsters?
I have a question real quick. I need clarification because it will change my answer.
Yes.
What type of monster are we talking?
Well, see, I kind of like that it's open.
Well, I have three.
It can't be, though.
I have three very different answers depending on what type of monster we're talking here.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. So this was a Louie and Tony thing. Is that correct?
I think it's up to you, when you hear the word monster, mm-hmm. what is the first thing that comes into mind and what's dealing with it?
Okay.
I
know too many monsters.
All right. Well, yeah. Is it vampires, werewolves?
Late stage capitalism.
If your answer is changing.
All right. I'll go first because I have three depending on. If we're talking about mythological monsters, Geralt of Rivia, obviously. Literally a monster hunter. If we're talking just a big version of something, mm-hmm. like a giant rhino, a giant something like that, Legolas. Sure. He can take it down by himself. Okay. If we're talking spooky monsters, the Winchester brothers.
Very good point. Very good point.
I found my
Those
answer.
Are great picks.
Mm-hmm. Aaron.
I'm going to piggyback on Geralt of Rivia because more often than not, I trust his judgment of whether to either dispatch or assuage.
Bang. Those are his options.
Or bang. He is really good at, I think he's got the best discernment on what just needs to be.
What to fight, what to bang.
How to separate or
Mary kill, man.
Right?
Mary kill.
That's actually one of the great parts about the Witcher books that I've, at least of what I've read so far, is that sometimes the monster in those scenarios are the actual men and women.
Amen.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
The actual monsters are men. You said it. Move on to the next.
You heard it here. And he takes, you know, he obviously cares for the monsters who's just trying to do its thing in its own routine. I trust him. What I want in Witcher school is for there to be a legal arm rather than a legal arm to their business, to the what they do, so like that
lawyers,
they can prosecute
like
these monsters if they break laws that they all agree on. So, like, there's Witcher lawyers and shit. That's what I want.
Dun, dun, da, 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 dun.
Yeah, last night when we were doing, like show prep, Aaron was like, I really just want to make a show called So You Want to Be a Witcher. I'm just going to make people do ridiculous things. It's like, well, that's what a Witcher would do.
Like one of those reality shows? Like a reality show?
So You Want to Be a Witcher. Yeah,
something like that.
Just a bunch of Witcher challenges.
Witcher like, Idol. Yep.
Physical challenges.
Witcher Island. You could do Witcher Island.
Imagine a world where, sorry, maybe I'm going too far, but imagine a world where even the monsters agree to the laws of the land, and you need somebody who not just can fight them, but maybe a branch that can mentally prosecute these monsters that are really good at like mental manipulation or
Judge
psychological.
Dredd, I am the law.
Who's going to lock him up, right? He doesn't kill all the monsters, but he incapacitates.
Yeah.
It's like when in the beginning of Ninja Turtles 2 Secret of the Ooze, the Ninja Turtles beat up the robbers and they leave them tied up for the police. Mm-hmm. Well, if Geralt is leaving a monster tied up for the police, who's going to prosecute?
Exactly. Thank you.
Geralt of Rivia, attorney at law. What's his little bard friend's name?
Dandelion.
Dandelion. Yeah, I forget his name in the show. They call him something different, but him is his, like, his goofy, fun paralegal. Yes, so you get that, like, you know, salty, sweet kind of dynamic, good cop, bad cop. You know,
so like Harvey Birdman, attorney at law vibes, but with Geralt and Buttercup.
Or you could put Geralt and Yennefer, and then you have that pull on Law and Order.
What?
So if you get Geralt with Yennefer, and you have the full like Law and Order SVU vibe.
Yeah. Oh, nice. All right, Danny Louie, who's defeating your monsters?
I chose Mace Windu. I'm like all about Mace Windu right now.
Oh,
like that dude. And maybe it's a cop out answer, right? Because Jedi can do more than like
typical
monster hunter. But that dude is afraid of nothing. Like he has no fear whatsoever. And that dude is a badass.
Yes,
he can get to places that other people can't get. He can mind manipulate the fuck out of weaker species. He's just operationally and tactically brilliant. And because of the fact of the matter that he has dabbled in all different aspects of the Force, that's going to bring like a different perspective into each monster that he faces, right? He's not just going to go in there like I feel like somebody like Geralt would, like go in there and fuck some shit up and ask questions later. I feel like Mace is going to ask and answer all of the questions that need to be asked and answered before he just goes in there swinging.
What's the special lightsaber form that he created, Tommy? Do you remember the name of it?
Vapid. That would be Vapid, the Vapid style.
Yeah.
Quailman, who are you sending to save the day?
Yeah, these are all great answers. However, given the parameters of the question, you're all wrong. I will be sending the protagonist from Pokemon Red or Pokemon Gold or Pokemon Emerald, whatever, it doesn't matter. Ash Ketchum, because that motherfucker can't catch a goddamn monster to save his life.
Okay.
I'm talking the protagonist from the Vidjagam with a team of level 100 Pokemon that is evenly distributed across types and weaknesses. So we're talking like we've got ourselves like a, well, I have to have a Jolteon on the team because Jolteon's the best Pokemon. Don't at me. So that's your electricity covered. And then you've got, I don't know, I'm just going to pick some random shit. But you got like a dark type. So maybe like a, you know what? Fuck it. Just take 6 Eeveelutions at level 100. Pick your 6 of 8.
So it doesn't matter so just you, the Pokemon trainer.
No, but it's a character. It's a fictional character. It's a, anyways, if you're talking about monsters, who can better handle a monster than a Pokemon trainer? It's literally what they do all day, every day.
Yeah.
And they catch them, and then you don't have to kill them. You don't have to have attorneys. It's just a much more efficient system for the local economy as well.
Just trap them in these balls. Then nobody knows what happens when they're in there.
But then they start to trust you, and now you have a massive army of monsters to use at your disposal. Once you catch them, they're yours, man, as long as you've got pending badge approval on level.
But then you get into the, you know, that murky territory of like monster consent. You know, and
there is no look, man. If we're being clear here, if we're being fair, I this isn't my stance. This is not, I want to be clear. This is the stance of the Pokemon Company. These Pokemon don't have any consent. You catch them, they're yours. You know what I'm saying?
That sounds like colonialism. That's
So there are some ethical gray areas there, Doug.
I mean, I'm sorry. Mr. Mime, that feels wrong, right?
There's a lot of very humanoid
they
Pokemon.
They gave him the title of Mister, and Mister, then made him a subservient, like, basically, like, pit fighter.
And what do they do in the ball when they're not out? They're just in that ball. Is it like...
No, so, like, it like, shrinks them down. It makes, they're, like, little digital versions of them. So they're little minis, and it's, like, a big mansion. So they get to... They have a pool if they're a water type.
Is that canon? Is that, like... Has that been...
Well, that's what I chose to believe at 10 years old, and I have a lot of childhood trauma, so I'm hanging on to that as much as I can.
I do to imagine the Pokeball as a paradise too.
Right. Like they're just in there just chilling, right? Having a good time. All right, we're gonna wrap up soon. Oh, mine is the Powerpuff Girls. That's who I'm calling to save the day. Yeah. Before bedtime, at least. they can handle monsters.
What are you doing after dark?
Well, I mean, you know, that's if Professor Utonium says it's okay. They have fought Mojo Jojo a couple times in the evening. If it's on the weekend, it's cool. But they have handled multiple monsters of different sizes and abilities. And of course, Mojo Jojo is just a freak. But they do a great job. There is a bit of collateral damage to the city of Townsville from time to time, but I think that's to be expected.
I don't feel good about you calling Mojo Jojo a freak, but...
Mojo Jojo is a freak. I mean, I'm not saying that as a negative. I mean, you can take that however you want, but
Mojo Jojo.
I mean, he has a slight speech impediment, which I love. you know, because it's very empowering to those who do have speech impediments. So it's yeah, I love it. We need more of the Powerpuff Girls. I need more PPG in my life.
We do.
All right. Are y'all ready for the clip reveal? I think Aaron is.
Oh, I'm ready.
I think I figured it. I think I do.
Okay.
I just said I'm not gonna guess it.
Okay.
Because I want someone else to get it right. But okay. You're gonna know. So when I heard it initially, I was like, oh, that's Jaws. Because the scene is making fun of Jaws. And that's
saying too much.
But that's how it informed what movie it was for me. Go ahead, Aaron. Aaron knows it. I'm not worried about it.
Oh, wait a minute. Is it not Jaws?
Oh my God, Aaron, did you really think
he has to Jaws? Play it again and then we give his answer?
I like those eyes, all black and lifeless.
Fucking Doug.
29 kids go in the water. 22 kids come out of the water. The ice cream man, he take the rest. Oh. April the 9th, 4:30 p.m.
That's why
it's like Mel Brooks' take on Jaws. Is this not Jaws? Damn it, I'm gonna. If this isn't Jaws, I'm gonna walk away.
All right, does anyone else know it? Because I know it.
See, here's the thing. I thought it was Jaws 2 because Aaron was like, well, you've definitely seen it. I'm like, maybe he just remembers something I don't.
Louie?
I've never seen Jaws, so if it is Jaws, then I have no idea.
Well, to be fair, only 30 people saw this movie ever.
But it's such a good movie.
It's so good.
If
Master
only 30
of Disguise people. Starring Dana Carvey.
That is correct. That
oh,
is
that's the Am I Too Turtly for the yeah. Turtle Club?
Turtle.
That's
turtle.
The only part of that movie I know.
Yeah.
But it is, if you haven't watched it, it's such a goofy movie, but it's so fun. Jesus. And it really, and Dana Carvey is a treasure. He is just amazing. If you've never seen Moving with Dana Carvey, Richard Pryor, please. That is an underrated film. Richard Pryor. I mean, you can't go wrong with Richard Pryor anyway, but Richard Pryor and Dana Carvey in the same film. Fucking brilliant. It's amazing. Such a good movie. Moving. Please watch it. So yeah, so far D to the UGG undefeated still.
I'm really sorry that I didn't get to laugh at you when you guessed Jaws. I really fucked this up.
You did. You really
didn't get to enjoy it because you were going to say it and I was going to go, oh, you're wrong. And
no,
I was
mate, so you happy. Saw crestfallen. You hear it in my voice.
Yeah.
I hailed to the victor.
I selected that clip specifically to trip people up because
it almost got me.
Well, it worked.
Like I knew that you had it the second playthrough. If I would have just played it once,
yeah,
maybe. But when I played it the second time at the beginning of the show, I knew you knew. And I was like, fuck this motherfucker. Here we go.
I just love Aaron's trajectory from going so like the beginning of the show, so confident and be like, I fucking got this. Let me tell you right now to just the fair. Ultimate it's dejection. Really,
it's really unfair to make like a line that is making fun of an iconic line from an iconic movie. And this movie like literally made $0. Like no one saw it.
Tommy, what you did. What
except
you did
apparently.
Aaron, what I Tommy did to Aaron was the equivalent of going up to a little golden retriever puppy and saying, do you want a treat? Do you want a treat? And then opening his hand to nothing.
I didn't do that. That was Doug did that. You did that to poor Aaron.
Well,
all right, let's wrap this turkey up. You didn't deserve that. Nobody deserves that, Aaron. Doug is a bad, bad man.
You made it. You picked.
Well, when you're wrong, you're wrong, and I was wrong.
You picked this quote, man. I just knew
well,
it.
If we're pointing fingers, point it at Dana Carvey. He made the movie. I mean,
no, I didn't rip a direct line from it. To be fair, I thought this sounds really weird for it to have been Jaws.
Yeah, but it's so good. And that and what's his name? Shaw. I can't remember, but the captain from Jaws is such a great character.
Oh yeah.
And I his name is Shaw. I can't remember. I think his name is Shaw, but, and Dana Carvey just nails it. It's such, cause he's got such like this really cool, like, you know, the original character, he has that cool, like Maine Cape Codish type act, you know, accent. But when you guys have all seen Jaws
except for Louis.
I haven't.
Okay. Watch it. It's a great film. It really is. But the scene where he describes World War II, when he's talking about this, you know, so many people go into the water, you know, the sharks took the rest, that actually happened. I mean, he's describing an actual event that happened in World War II. Yep. I can't remember the name of the ship, but it actually did happen.
Indianapolis?
Oh, I mean, I wouldn't even hazard a guess. I don't know. But Dana just...
Ever seen a shark's eyes, Chief? Kind of like doll's eyes, all black and lifeless like. 29 kids go in the water. 22 kids come out of the water. The ice cream man, he take the rest. April the 9th, 4:30 p.m.
Such, he's just fucking.
I was right. It's the USS Indianapolis is the actual real life event.
Well remembered. Well remembered. But you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think the actor's name is Shaw, something Shaw. The way that he delivers that scene, and they're on the boat at night, and you just hear the sounds of the ocean and the boat rocking back and forth, and he's talking about, it's just storytelling and filmmaking at its finest. It's just so good. All right. Put a fork in us. We're done. Does anybody have anything on the way out?
You can say it for next
hot
time.
Hot takes.
Oh, yeah. There's a whole
hot takes. Oh, Louie, you've got the hot take this week.
Yeah, and it's actually kind of a convenient hot take based off of Doug's previous answer to the previous question. So I'll just drop it and leave it there. Pokemon is overrated.
Louie, the segment's called Hot Take, not Wrong Take.
Nope, that's the hot take. Pokemon is overrated. All right.
Well, and this is what on the cusp of the final episode of classic original Pokemon being aired.
The show, yeah.
The show ended. So now that's how we're gonna
now. Louis feels he can speak on it.
Well, I don't know that the show's ended, right? It's just that Ash Ketchum won't be the protagonist.
Ash Ketchum's good done, right?
Yeah.
Ash is Pokemon's done. Not going away.
He realized he was never gonna catch them all.
They make too much money.
No, but the original series, I think they've wrapped that. I think ran the final episode with Ash with the voice actor, but they're wrapping.
Barely catch a goddamn Caterpie, he's a bitch.
Yeah.
All right. We're out here. Does anybody have anything going on? Anything you want to push, promote, or pimp yourself?
I need a nap.
All right.
Can I promote that? Can I promote napping?
You can. You can promote napping.
Consider it promoted.
All right.
I promote the end of this podcast.
All right. Wait a minute. This episode.
This episode.
The episode. Yes, please. Wow.
Yikes.
I forget she ever knew Donnie Brasco.
Phrasing.
Oh, my God. All right. Anyway.
Donnie Brasco.
All right. So that's it. We're all done. Thanks for tuning in and listening to us. Of course, if you'd like to see us in our natural habitat, head on over to patreon.com/circleofnerds. You're going to get all kinds of like really cool stuff, early access, and some other cool stuff I can't remember off the top of my head right now. Behind the scenes stuff. You get like the full episodes, full length and girth of every episode in its entirety.
And all of them, all of the podcasts that we've already put out, they're all up there.
Doug, it looked like you're about to say something. I
think our first four episodes are already up there.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, we've got 100+ videos up on our Patreon account right now. So please do check it out. And it also helps us to keep everything ad-free, and it affords our legal fees as well. So do check us out, and check us out all over the web at Circle of Nerds. Of course, CircleNerds.com. Get some merch over there and enjoy your life while rocking a Circle of Nerds t-shirt and enhance your drip. And that way you can eat and with no crumbs.
Because you're dripping.
Yeah, because you're dripping. I don't know. That's what the kids are saying now.
Enhance your res.
That fit is fire. You eat.
Cannot believe this is the note we're fucking ending on, guys.
This episode jumped a shark like half an hour ago,
if
man.
If you say shark one more time, I'm going to come over there and aggressively hug the shit out of you. Pop the eyes right out of your skull in a loving embrace from me to
kids
you,
go in the water.
Hugging it out.
Kids come out of the water.
And just so I can go hug
the
Doug.
Ice cream man, he take the rest.
Squeeze that man.
The ninth. 4:30 p.m.
I'm gonna know he's cared. He's gonna know he's cared for.
We probably need to cut the last 15 minutes of this.
I don't think we're not gonna cut shit. Well, maybe
he's going over to Doug right now.
Oh shit! Okay, well we're gonna end it now before violence ensues. All right, everybody, thanks for joining us this week. We'll see you next week. And as always, remember, if no one does anything nice for you, do something nice to yourself. And we will see you next time. Bye.
He needs a key to get into this room.
Ha 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 ha! Thanks for joining us this week. If you like this train wreck and you want more, you can follow us online. We're at Circle of Nerds on Patreon, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and of course our website, circleofnerds.com.
Hey, I gotta pee.